Welcome to the CFC Jacks Midweek Podcast, where we discuss topics related to becoming a fully devoted, Spirit-empowered Christ follower. We hope that wherever you are today, you'll be encouraged by the truths discussed in this podcast.
Welcome to Q&A. We're so glad that you are with us this morning. This is your opportunity to send in questions from the sermon this morning. Doug will be here in just a minute, and that'll be your opportunity to have those questions answered. So you'll see there's a number across the bottom of the screen there. And you know, oftentimes we'll say if you've got something in your mind stirring around, something you're not sure about, likely someone else does too. So I want to invite you to send those in this morning. I think that'll be an encouragement to others to also ask those questions. So, you know, if you're listening this morning or listening back later in the week, and we talked about opportunities to bless neighbors, you know, Doug mentioned at the end that there's a lot of creative ways to do that. So I want to encourage you to think creatively, get engaged with your family, ask your kids, and come up with all kinds of fun ways that you can bless your neighbors. And food is a really good one.
I'm your neighbor. How do you want to bless me?
My office neighbors, my office is between Doug and Tony. And so sounds like I need to bring in some cookies or something.
Sushi.
Bring sushi. I don't know that. Well, I've made sushi once, but don't know that I can make it to bring it in.
You're my neighbor, so I should be asking the same questions. Well,
there you go. That's right.
Almond joy. Right?
Yep.
Or is it Mound? No, it's Almond Joy.
Almond Joy. Yeah, yep. And the Reese's guy.
That's exactly right.
Well, so I love that at the beginning of the service, we took the Lord's Supper together. Yeah. That was really impactful to really set the tone and the heart of.
Yeah. Why do you think we did that?
To focus on the gratitude of what Christ did for us. That's the hinge point of everything we talked about is Christ's finished work on the cross, how that has changed my life.
Yeah.
Therefore, I want others to know that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that. That's, I could have said it, but I want us to understand that reaching out, loving our neighbor is not a to-do list. It's who we are because what has been done for us. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, anytime we start focusing on outreach and we get it disconnected from what has been done for us, I'm afraid we get into some behavior modification versus living out of the overflow of a relationship with Jesus, a heart. Because, you know, when Jesus has the meal with the religious leader named Simon and the woman who has a history and a past comes and washes his feet with her tears in her hair and anoints him with perfume, Simon thinks, man, I thought this guy was a prophet. How can he not know who this person is? And he's allowing her to do this to him. And Jesus says to him, those who have been forgiven much love much, and those who have been forgiven little love little. And the reality is none of us have been forgiven little.
Right.
We only think too highly of ourselves that we have been forgiven little, that we have not been forgiven like really bad people. And therefore, when we think that, we don't love much. And so the goal of doing the Lord's Supper, and that's why I just wanted to really, I appreciate you acknowledging we started there for a reason, because if we remember how much we have been forgiven, what we've been rescued from, the empty filled, the broken made holes, the way that song goes that Matt sang, when we remember that God is making us new, then we will love much. And that's what we're doing. We're not checking boxes. We're loving much because we've been loved much.
That's the reason why.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I appreciate you acknowledging that.
First question here is actually from Thursday night service.
Oh, okay.
Said, referring to Luke 10, 25 through 37.
Yeah.
Were lawyers not friends back in the day with Samaritans? Just questioning it. Just questioning as he couldn't even mention the name Samaritan.
Yes. It was not lawyer driven. It was Jewish driven. So Jesus is speaking to a man who is Jewish, and very clearly Jewish people did not interact with Samaritan people. That's why if you go back to John chapter 4, when Jesus meets the woman at the well, it's a Samaritan woman, and she is shocked that Jesus engages her in conversation. And then the disciples, when they return from Sychar, the town that they go to find some food and bring it back to Jesus, they are shocked that he is talking to a Samaritan woman, because Jews did not interact with Samaritans. Mm-hmm. So it's not a lawyer thing. It's a Jewish versus Samaritan thing.
A cultural thing.
Yep.
Which has, really, if you think about it, even a probably a deeper seated struggle to it than just a professional thing. They probably grew up that way.
Yes.
And it was highly just embedded in thinking.
Yes. More than a culture. It was a racial thing, not just a occupational thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which we see in our present day, obviously.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true. A question about thinking about who is your neighbor. What is your opinion on homeless as your neighbor? Shall we invite them to stay at my house without safe concerns?
That's a great question. I think, and this is the difficulty. So many homeless are homeless by choice, and those who are not homeless by choice actually have opportunity through ministries that have begun to be able to become viable again without being homeless. So now I think that there are, we don't, unless the Lord appears to us in a burning bush, or like he did with Moses, or like he did with Balaam, speaks through an animal. You know, when the Lord speaks in supernatural ways, you know, we take that above all. But generally, the Lord speaks to us through his word, and part of his speaking through his word is that we do act in wisdom. Mm-hmm. So I would not suggest, and even this man is a Samaritan, he didn't take him into his home. In the story that Jesus told, he took him to an inn. So it may be a case where in serving, you're willing to transport somebody to a place where they can receive help without bringing them into your home. So I am not suggesting that we should ignore the homeless. I am suggesting it's often difficult to determine who is homeless by choice and who is not homeless by choice. And when they're homeless by choice, we're simply trying to take them out of a lifestyle that they want.
Hmm.
They want to be provided for in that lifestyle, but it is a lifestyle they want.
Hmm. Yeah, that can be an interesting balance. I remember there was someone at the church who's really moved by the Lord to do like little backpacks that had a Bible in it and like a gift card for food, and then had them in their car. So then they were able to practically gift that as a blessing to anyone they saw in need. In different situations. So there was a way to meet a need there without necessarily inviting them into their home. That's that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, generally, as a church, we don't give out cash to those coming looking for money. Personally, I don't give out cash. I would, like we had a woman come by sometime in the past with a couple of kids, and she was looking for money for lunch, and she had a car, and I said, well, I'm not going to give you money for lunch, but if you'll follow me less than a mile away, I'll buy a lunch for your family. And that's what they did. So again, I'm not suggesting we don't help people, but we just recognize some of the best ways to help them.
Discernment in there.
Yeah.
And so next question, actually about a neighbor, so in your home. So how would you encourage someone who has to love a very difficult person in their home?
Yeah. I don't know that there's any secret sauce to loving a person in your home other than what you're acknowledging. It's harder because it's likely 24/7. So loving someone at work, you get to go home.
There's a space. Yeah,
loving
there.
Someone at the gym, you get to go home. But loving someone difficult to love in your home is almost always present. So here's what I would encourage you with. The power of the love of God and the power of when I'm born again and the Spirit of God is poured into my heart so that God Himself dwells within me is this, that this reminder, Jesus did not come to make the hard easier. Jesus came to make the impossible possible. And that's what loving someone hard in your home feels like. Not just hard, impossible, because there's never a break. And that is, I would encourage you, that is the opportunity that God is giving you to learn to depend upon Him in even greater ways than you ever have. Jesus said, if you abide in me as I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. And loving people who are closest to us, who are hard to love, is about as impossible as it gets. And so it drives us to our need to depend upon the power of the indwelling Spirit to give me what I need every moment in every circumstance. Doesn't mean that we'll be perfect. I'm not suggesting you'll do it perfectly. I am suggesting 2 Peter 1 says that you have everything that you need for life and godliness because, here's what the passage says, look it up, 2 Peter chapter 1, you are a partaker of the divine nature. That's why it says you have everything you need for life and godliness, because you are a partaker of the divine nature. You are still human, but you are no longer only human. That's a cop-out we often give ourselves. So I'm just human.
Human, yeah.
No, I'm not. I am still human, but I am not only human. I am a partaker of the divine nature. The Spirit of God now dwells within me, giving me everything I need for life and for godliness. So there's no secret sauce for what that how that works out in your home other than believing. I don't get a pass because it's home. I don't get a pass because it's hard. I don't get a pass because if I do it, you know, 60% of the time, and that's better than most, I get to depend upon the Lord increasingly to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Colossians 2:6 says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So how do we receive Him? We received Him by faith, believing that He would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, pay for the penalty for our sin. As you receive the Lord, so walk in Him. So loving a hard person in your family every day is trusting Jesus to do for you and through you what you could not do for yourself. It's not a step of faith to trust in Jesus. It is a life of faith to live out the love that we have been loved with. So long answer, but learning to abide in Jesus.
Well, and as you're saying that, made me think I'm going to get the statement wrong, but we're only going to grow as much as we have to.
Yeah.
So in those situations, did I get it right?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank goodness.
We're only as mature as we have to be.
As mature as we have to be. And in those situations and those difficulties, that's when we're going to seek growth. When we choose to abide, we're going to see growth in those very difficult opportunities.
Yeah, and that idea, we're only mature as we have to be, we only grow as much as we have to, flows out of James 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So hard person in the home to love is a testing of your faith, and that is producing endurance. And let endurance, verse 4 continues, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. It doesn't mean that you'll never sin. It means they'll have everything you need in in Christ to do what he's called you to do.
Yeah. Great. Great reminder.
Yeah.
So we talked about in the home, but I can imagine there might be somebody thinking, oh, I haven't been a great neighbor, or, ooh, I've lived here 10 years and I've never met my neighbors. I drive in my garage and I shut the door kind of thing. What would you say to someone to get started down this path of blessing neighbors?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me this, because this is something I meant to say in there, but ran out of minutes. The reality is that not all neighbors are interested in being neighbors. In other words, there are folks who go, now, I didn't move into here in order to find friends. I got friends. I have community, and I don't want my neighbors to be my friend. And so if you try to press that.
Force that.
Yeah. You're going to be frustrated, and you're going to frustrate them. So two thoughts here. Number one, I don't think followers of Jesus get that option. Hmm. In other words, followers of Jesus don't get the option of saying, hey, I don't want to be a neighbor in my neighborhood. Why? Because we believe that God has providentially put us there. And when he said, loving me is loving your neighbor, he was including your literal neighbor. So just because some people don't want neighbors doesn't mean you get to be that person. So if you're tempted, if you're inclined to go, no, I try to, you know, go in my garage, close the door, I don't really talk to people, I don't really engage with my neighbors, that is something that I want to challenge you that the Lord would change in your life, first. Second, if you want to know who in your neighborhood is kind of looking to be a neighbor or for neighbors, just throw a party. Mm-hmm. Just have a meal and invite the neighbors. And you'll find out some people will come and some people will not come. And those who don't come, it may be because of conflict, or it may be because they're like, I'm not interested. So throw a second. And by the third time, if people are like always busy, you probably know. They're not interested. And that's okay. Because for all we know, the guy wasn't interested in neighbors until he got beat up and was laying across on the side of the street. Then he was interested in a neighbor. So sometimes those who don't have any interest in being a neighbor experience a circumstance in life that then they realize, I am actually looking for a neighbor and I want that. So I wouldn't be frustrated. I would throw a couple parties and you'll find out who is open to that sort of relationship.
Yeah, and you never know. That might plant a seed for a follow-up conversation, or maybe one day they go, you know, sorry, I missed that, or I don't know. You could learn all kinds of things.
You've done cookie decorating. And sometime each year, some of the same people come.
Mm-hmm.
And any neighbors who never come? I mean, you're kind of cool, so probably everybody
is. Well, it's also geared towards kids, so kids are going to really motivate their parents, you know, to get there. So, yeah, there are some who have maybe sent their kids and the parents have never come.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I could see that.
Yeah, that's probably been more of what
Send the I've kids, seen. But they don't come.
Yeah, and then I have invited other adults in the neighborhood or nearby, and they don't usually come, but I do have to remember that's more geared towards kids. Right.
Yeah. And sometimes adults want to come with kids and they're like, no, you can go yourself.
Right. The kids just keep coming.
Thank you. We love Tracy. She takes our kids once a year.
Aptly.
Yeah. But so you've done that.
2 years now?
2 years now.
Two or three. Two.
And then something else it seemed like.
At the end of the school year, we 1 year did a pizza party, and last year we did an ice cream party where we did the ice cream. Everyone brought toppings. And so it was the kids from the bus stop.
Very cool.
Which was really fun. Yeah. And then we invite other neighbors too. Just come on over for ice cream and just hang out. And it's fun.
Simple ways, but almost all of them have involved food.
They have all involved food. Yes. Yes. Food is a motivator for adults and children to come.
Well, it's a natural. Fun. It's a natural thing that almost everybody likes to eat. And it's just a natural gathering place.
Yeah. That's been a lot of fun.
So do you have ideas for your 20? Or have you gotten 60 because of...
Well, it's just me so far. The kids haven't been in service yet.
Okay.
I don't know. Someone had a really good idea the other day about putting your fire pit on your driveway and doing s'mores and just knocking on doors and having people come over. So
you'd have to wait till it's cold again because it's got like 90 degrees. Oh, maybe
we've got like 1 weekend left. So
that's right.
I don't know. That's an idea, but there's just so many options. I want to see what the kids have in mind.
That's a good idea.
Ask
see,
the kids.
See what the kids have. Yep.
Yep.
It's good.
Well, we hope we'll get to hear some exciting encouragement stories from you as well. And we appreciate all your questions. And hope you guys have a great afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CFC Jacks podcast. Be sure to watch as we release new teachings weekly, along with additional content during the week. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cfcjacks.com. Thanks for listening.